Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, give you a few moments to find that. It's in the New Testament, by the way. One good thing that I would encourage everybody to do, if you don't, and most of you probably do know the books of your Bible. You ought to know that by memory. You ought to make it your business to memorize the books of the Bible and be able to say them. Amen. I think if God allowed our Bible to come to us with such sacrifice and bloodshed, I think we ought to become a familiar with it as we can be. I believe we ought to hide it in our heart, read it. There'll be a lot of people in heaven that never read the Bible through one time. Never read it through one time. And I'd hate to face the Lord with that. And the Lord knows I could have read it through a lot more than I have. Anyway, I certainly am not in the ballpark with Brother Gibbs, Dr. Gibbs and CLA, some of those. They read it through every month. And their big, busy, hectic schedule is just unbelievable, running that law firm and traveling and everything. I believe I counted it up, it's about 33 chapters a day. And you'd definitely not be able to spend much time on social media and get that done. Say amen right there. Wouldn't be able to watch a lot of Gunsmoke and Gravy Train and all that stuff and get that done. All right. Mark chapter number 4, this is so familiar. And I really don't even know how the Lord led me to this morning. It just got so big to my heart, and it's been on my mind all day, and I've just been trying to feed on it, meditate on it. And the Word of God's going to be what's going to help you. That's why the devil wants to keep a distance between you and the Bible, because he knows if you're going to get help, it's going to be in the book. And if he can keep you out of the book, keep you away from the book, keep you busy, or as Brother Craddock said, and we all could share probably with that testimony of being down, discouraged, and everything. I sat down with a gentleman here in Rogersville area that owns his own business, and he told me, he said that he's really concerned about his business. He's really, really, really struggling. And he's concerned about his business, already having to lay some people off and such. And he said, but I got in the Word. And he said, I read Psalm 23. And he said the first verse, Brother Craig, he's sitting beside me here. He said when he read that first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when he said that to me, quoted that to me, he turned his head away. He said, give me just a moment here. He turned back around and he was tears puddled up in his eyes. He said, I needed that. I could quote that verse for years, but he said, I needed that reminder that I've got a shepherd. And he's so sufficient. Son, I feel a witness. He is so sufficient. He is so self-sustaining. He needs nothing. And David said, I shall not want. He didn't put no ifs, ands, or buts there. He didn't put no parentheses. He didn't put nothing there but a statement. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He didn't say, I shall not want if the wolves leave me alone, if there's plenty of grass, if there's, you know, this or that, or if the other sheep goes with me. You know, he didn't put none of that on there. And there was a gentleman been saved many, many years, a local preacher in our area, and he said, I got help just off of Psalms 23, verse 1, just that reminder that the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. You say, but I know it. Yeah, but there's something about reading it. There's something about that eye gate, making contact through your eye gate. The light of the body is your eye, the Bible says. So that tells me that if it's the light of the body, my eye is, that whatever I'm looking at, good or bad, carnal or spiritual, flesh or whatever it is, if whatever I'm looking at is going to influence my whole body, it's going to get inside me through my eye gate. Yeah. May God help us with that. And and to read it, and when you read it out loud, then it's going through two more gates. It's going through your ear gate. You're looking at it, it's going through your eye gate. Amen. And look how close that is to your brain. Going straight from your eye into your brain, your ear straight into your brain. And so that's a good chance that the Word of God's going to get where it needs to be. Amen. So we need to, I want to encourage you to do that. Amen. May the Lord just stir me up about it. But anyway, Mark chapter number 4. And you've probably not been in church long. You've heard this passage dealt with. I've dealt with it on numerous occasions. And what I did this morning when I finally got it settled in my heart that this is where the Lord wanted me to get. I've got messages on. I said, Lord, I'm not going to pull any of them up. I don't want to look any of them up. I want you to give me some fresh stuff. I want you to feed me. I want you to strengthen me. I want you to give me something out of the Word of God. Hallelujah, Lord. Boy, I appreciate His presence tonight. Amen. I'm like Brother Craddock. I'm so sick of carrying a dark cloud hanging over me all the time. I'm sick of that. And I know God don't put that there. We've got to believe that. Hello? We have got to believe that God is not putting depression and oppression upon us. We've got to believe that. We've got to believe that that God does all things well. We've got to believe that. What other choice do we have? Amen. God help us. Amen. Lord, just praise Him a minute. Lord, just praise Him. You say you feel like it? Not really. But we'll just do it because it's right. It's the right thing to do. Let me check. Let's just have a praise check right here. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I didn't have to check my feelings. I didn't have to pull up my Facebook and see how many friends I got. I didn't have to check in with a lot of people and see how their day was. And no, I just said, God said, if you're breathing, you're qualified. If you're breathing, you're a candidate to praise me. And so I just had to stop and ignore circumstances and ignore the news and just say, well, am I breathing or not? Am I still on the top side of the soul or not? Am I still alive or not? Am I still blessed or not? Am I still saved or not? And the answer to all of those are yes. So I think I ought to just go ahead in spite of everything and say, thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Amen. Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. Help us. Amen. If we'd all be transparent and just be honest, we're struggling. Maybe not in the same areas, but we're struggling in some areas. Amen. I tell you what, I'm just being honest. One thing that I'm having to just really battle. And I mean, I'm having to deal with it and pray over it and address it, and just is bitterness. Just getting bitter in my heart over it. Like Brother Craddock said, just angry, bitter. And boy, that'll ruin you in a quick minute. That'll ruin your testimony. And I know it will. The root of bitterness will spring up, and thereby many will be defiled. It'll defile your family. It'll defile your friends. It'll defile your church. Bitterness. And I don't want to get bitter. Lord, have mercy. My Uncle Joe told me, and you've heard this, but it's come back to my mind again. Years ago, when I was pastoring my first church and going through boot camp and everything else, he said, whatever you do, stay sweet in your spirit. Just stay sweet in your spirit. Whatever you do, if anybody's going to be wrong, make sure you let it be somebody else. Don't let it be you. And of course, I've not passed that test every time. But I want to do that. But boy, it's hard, isn't it? Boy, when you're surrounded with things you don't like, constantly hearing news you don't like, it's easy, boy, to get just irritated and aggravated. And want to take matters into your own hands. That's really what bitterness is when you start putting your hands on it, and you start thinking, this is my fight. This is going to be my fight. This is going to be my battle. I'm going to be like Peter. I'm going to pull my sword out. I'm going to cut somebody's head off, ear off, something. I'm going to deal with it. Amen. But that ain't right. I mean, it bothers me. It bothers me to see people that intentionally is trying to destroy this country. That irritates me to see people and willfully ignore things that are, you know, proven to help people. I don't understand that. I'm going to tell you, that's a sorry person. Anybody, anywhere, I don't care where it is or what it is, anybody that will, on purpose, take advantage of somebody and ruin somebody for your own benefit, that's a sorry person, buddy. I don't care who it is. Amen. Well, I better get off that. Mark 4, verse 35, and the same day when the even was come, he, that's Jesus, saith unto them, his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, could I say something before I move on? I want to wait and get on it, but I might have to touch on it just a little bit. There's two letter word right there in that passage that I just read, that verse, that if we'll get it, I could dismiss and we could go home with great victory in our soul. Guess what it is? Us. When I read that, Brother Fultz, this morning, that little two-letter word got really big. And I took and underscored that just out of that whole statement, us. I don't want y'all to get too much help tonight. No, I'm just kidding. I want us to get a lot of help. That word us means if I go down, he goes down. If he goes down, I'm going down. Has anybody got good news for me? I got good news for you. There's never been an ocean disturbed enough, a storm great enough to take him down. And if he can't go down, I can't go down. You try to sink him, he'll walk on the water. You try to burn him up in a fiery furnace, he'll turn it into a fellowship hall. Amen. He'll fellowship with God's people right in the midst of the fiery furnace. Thank God for the us factor. Amen. I'm going to preach on that a minute. I'm glad it's not just me. I'm glad it's not just me. And I'm glad it's not just you. And I'm glad the us there, Brother Craddock, is not just right here us that's on a horizontal level right here. That's we're all on the same in the same boat. And we're all on the same level. No, I'm glad that there's another person involved in that us. And it's the person speaking the word us. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not burdened about the storm. He's not surprised about the storm. He's not shocked about the storm. He's not, listen, he doesn't get stuck in the storm. Amen. And he said there, let us. I'm glad he's the one making that decision. He's the one making that call. Let us. It wasn't John saying that. It wasn't Peter saying that because, you know, something could have happened to change it. But the one that can speak with all authority, with all might and all power said, let us. Amen. And when he said, let us, that means the us, where one goes, they all go. None's going to be lost in the storm. None's going to be lost overboard. None's going to be lost by going back. Thank God Jesus is leading the way, and we are a part of that us promise. That word us there identifies Jesus, that these disciples had his companionship. They had his companionship. He was a part of the storm as well. How many times has old preacher Rackley forgot that part? How many times did I walk through a deep valley and forget that He's the lily of the valley, part of it? He's let us go. Let us pass over unto the other side. That is, we're going to make it. If Jesus said we're going to make it, we're going to make it. Amen. And I'll tell you how important it is to Him. He included Himself in with it. He's willing to go under if you're going under. If you don't make it, He don't even want to make it. But He's going to make it because He declared before they ever got in the boat, we're going to the other side. He didn't have to get a weather report. He didn't have to look at the thermometer. He didn't have to pull up, the weather channel and get a, look at the radar. Hey, man, no, He don't have to get all of that information to make an assessment. He just goes ahead before we ever get in a boat, before we ever got in, before we ever headed on our journey up to the other side. He went ahead and declared with authority, we are, all of us, going unto the other side. Amen. My soul, I feel God on that. Amen, Lord. Let us pass over unto the other side. Since we just hung up right there, let me show you something the Lord showed me this morning. Just simple, but it fed me. It fed me. That word unto, let us pass over unto, means point reached. That's what it means. Didn't say we're going toward. He said we're going unto. We're going unto, we're going until we touch. Until we make contact, until we have reached. But that word unto is also used in verse 34. But without a parable spake He not unto them. Spake He not unto them. And then it's used again in verse. Let me find it here. I thought I made a line to it there. But anyway, he used the word of God. Here it is. Verse 30, where is it at? Where? 38. Y'all helping me. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? No, where's the unto at? Somebody see that? 33. I've got a note there somewhere on that. Unto and into. Because they get into the ship in verse 37. See there, y'all helping me. And He says, unto the sea. That is what He said made contact with the sea. And that's why it had to lay down in obedience. And where was the other verse? Verse 40. And He said unto them, that is the same word that was spoken in verse 39 that made contact with the sea, peace be still. And what happened? The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Verse 40, He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? But that word unto, just for definition, it means point reached. That's good news. We're going to the other side. But look at verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him. I like that. They took Him. We want Him. We want Him to go. We want Him to be a part of a close and vital part of our life. And they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there was also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'm interested in this thought that the Lord has been dealing with me and helping me with throughout the day. The external will manifest the internal. Now we could talk, we could be all thoroughly depressed before we leave if we just pass the microphone around and let everybody give their 2 cents worth on what is going on in our country. The virus, the mask, all the regulations and shutdowns and all of that. We could all be depressed. But I want you to know that what's going on around us very easily could be called a storm. A very great storm, as Mark 4:37 calls it, a great storm of wind. Luke's account of this same passage calls it a storm that was so great that it filled their boat with water and they were in jeopardy. They were in jeopardy. Matthew 8 talks about it being a great tempest in the sea, and the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. What about that? So we're talking about something that is very practical that could be give us help tonight, in that we are in the midst of a storm, a great storm, a great tempest. That is not just a few rough waves. We're talking about unprecedented storm of what we are facing. But I want you to know that the external things that's going on around us is for the purpose of manifesting the internal. Would you agree that this storm, ladies and gentlemen, did not catch Jesus by surprise? It didn't surprise him. It did not sneak up on him. It did not shock him. It did not shake him, and certainly it did not stop him. And thankfully it did not silence him, because we find him speaking in the storm. Amen. So he knew about it. Before they ever got in the ship, he knew about it. But you find out, even with Christ, that the storm around the ship manifested the internal Christ inside the ship. Had it not been for that storm, possibly Jesus would have stayed asleep down in the hinder part. And that demoniac of Gadara over there on the shore of Gadara, listen, would have probably never saw the externally manifested Christ from the inside had it not been for that storm. So we find all down through these verses, we find the external manifesting the internal. And I can't answer for everybody. I can't answer for you, but I can answer for me. The external storm that we are all facing is surfacing things on the inside of me that I don't like. And it did with these disciples. These disciples, before they got in that boat and got in that ship, in the perfect will of God, mind you, it was Jesus' idea to get in that ship. They were in the exact ship Jesus wanted them to get in. They were in the will of God. They were doing fine until the storm hit. They had a spirituality that was sunshine based. They had a spirituality and a faith that was all connected to smooth and easy and everything fine. But when the storm hit, it began to manifest their inward condition. And I'm going to tell you, friend, I don't like that. When a storm comes, Sister Joanne, it brings out things to the surface. The external manifests the internal. And if there's things in your heart that is not right, it's going to come out. Listen, you know why that a lot of people are acting the way they're acting in these days? I'll tell you why. It's in there, but it's took a storm to get it out, bring it out. There's people quitting church. Why? Storm. They don't lie. It's surfing. They had quit in them anyway. I don't want quit to be in me because a storm can bring it out. And the same with you as well. But the external manifesting the internal. The Bible shows us here that the waves had literally beat into the ship. Beat its way into the ship. Beat means it's an action without permission. My daddy has done that to me a few times. But it wasn't by my permission, I promise you. Say amen right there. But there's going to be things that's going to come in your life, and it didn't come in your life because you invited it. It didn't come in your life because you wanted it and you put in an order for it. No, we're going to wake up one morning and listen to the news, and here we are a few months later dealing with what we never thought that we would deal with in our lifetime. The waves literally beat its way. The external waves literally beat its way inside of the ship to the point that the Bible said that the ship was now filled with water. And that word filled is used in John chapter number 2. When Jesus told the disciples or told the servants, go fill those water pots with water, what did he tell them to fill it up to? The brim. Literally meaning it was so full, fill them so full that there's no room for anything else. This ship was so full of water. I remember preaching on that one time. How was it I dealt with that? Full, but yet floating. It was full and a full ship sinks. But not if Jesus is on board. Amen. But that word filled has to do with that illustration there of the water pots being filled literally to the brim to where it couldn't hold anymore. Listen, if we don't watch out and if we don't guard our spiritual life, we could get so full of the external storm getting in, beating its way on to the inside of us that we could get so full of it that we can't handle anything else. So we better watch out for that. Amen. The external storm manifesting the internal. And let me deal with it just simply by looking at Jesus for a moment. The external storm manifested Jesus in a great rest of peace in the inside or the internal of the ship. Externally, there was that raging storm. But internally, there was Christ who was in a condition of peace and joy. You know what that represents? That represents us. That is a pretty picture right there of you and I that are saved. There's storms are raging around us, but on the inside is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and he's in there as the Prince of Peace and the Author of Peace. Even though the external, it looks bad and it looks like we're not going to make it, but on the inside, because Christ is in us, thank God, we'll have peace. Lord, have peace. The external great storm was to the point, the Bible called it raging at one point. Raging. I didn't get a chance to look that word up, but it was raging. And we find here that the ship was covered and filled with water, but yet on the inside, unexplainably, listen, unnaturally is Jesus Christ in peace and asleep on a pillow. Now you got the choice, and as I got the choice. You got the choice to stand on the bow of the ship of your life and focus on the waves and the wind and the darkness and the threats and the unknown. And you could stand there and grow old there or die there, looking that there's no help to be found, looking at the storm. I'll tell you where help is. It's when you divert your attention inwardly to Christ that is in you. That's when help can be found. Even in this text, when those disciples, when they were in that great storm, guess where they went? They went inside. They went as far away from the storm as they could get. They went inward until they got to where Jesus was. Everything we need, listen, Brother Craig, everything we need, Peter wrote it down, all things that pertain to life and godliness has already been given us. Everything that you need, church, to live a victorious Christian life, no matter what's going on, has already been given to you on the inside. But what do we do? What do I do? When a storm hits and some waves smacks me upside the head a few times, instead of going inward to where my help is, inward to where the Holy Spirit is, inward to where the new and divine nature of God is, inward where peace can be found and had. Instead of that, we look at we stay external with our focus. So Jesus Christ is on the inside. Oh my goodness. And I'll tell you, the storm is going to manifest the internal, good or bad. It's manifesting the internal Christ in a good way. It's showing him in the middle of the worst storm ever, asleep on a pillow. You know what that tells us? I know we know this. That tells me Jesus is not worried. Jesus is not fretting. I had someone to call me today from and said, "Preacher, that was Brother King. He's probably going to listen. Brother King called. He said, "Preacher," he said, "my sister just called me and said she just listened to a message you preached on worry. Why worry?" And then he started laughing. You know why he's laughing? Because we talk almost every day, and he knows that I'm not living. And you know what he went on to say, Brother Fultz? He said, "Brother Rackley, preacher, you need to start listening to your own preaching." Does that sound like Brother King? Just if he thinks it, he says it. Hey, you need to listen. I don't know how many years ago that's been. I think I preached on, I don't remember now, but Why Worry or something. I remember preaching that message. I don't know where she heard it at. But he said, "Preach, you need to listen to your own preaching." My wife's told me that before. You need to listen. Why don't you listen to your own preaching? You get up and preach to us. It ought to work for us. But what about you? Is it not good enough for you? You tell us how victory, and you go moping around, amen, tripping over your bottom lip and dragging your tracks out, amen? He just told me that today and laughed about it. I said, "My goodness, here I am. I'm on a spiritual ventilator already, and I'm trying to survive, and my preacher brother's laughing at me." But I thought that was funny. But it manifested the good internally with Christ, but it manifested the bad internally with the disciples. It brought out their faithlessness. It brought out their critical spirit. It brought out their carnal life. It brought it all out. Everything looked good till the storm hit. Listen, I don't want that kind of spirituality that sails good, shines good, looks good, feels good, and even shouts good in the sunshine. But when the storm begins to rage, whether it's political or economical or physical or no matter what it is, I want to have a spirituality that does not stagger. I want to have a spirituality that does not stumble. I don't want anybody to say, I can't believe that the first thing that Preacher Rackley went through, he's thrown in the towel. I don't want that. That sometimes seems to be a good direction to go if you're looking at it in the flesh. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know where this thing's going. We don't know what's being planned. We don't know what. Listen, it might be. Listen, it might be that the bottom falls out of our Constitution and the bottom falls out of our free America to the point that tyranny comes in and socialism comes in, and they say to us, you can't go to church. We could be like China. We could be like some of those Korean places that if you get caught, you can't preach, you can't hand out tracts, you can't do anything like that without a penalty, being arrested. And Lord only knows what else. You say it won't happen here. Listen, before you go too far with that talk, you'd have never thought we'd be where we're at today. You never thought we'd have been here. So we don't know. I don't know. I don't know, but I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do. I know what we need to do. It's that we need to focus on our internal and get ourselves ready to face whatever it is that we have to face, because it really might be in the future that we can't even come to church. I wonder how many people loves Jesus enough. And I've been asking myself that. I wonder how many people love Jesus enough to go right on praying, go right on feeding yourself from the Word of God. I wonder how many people, Brother Paul, could stand on their own two feet even if you wouldn't be able to assemble with God's people. I wonder how many would show up if we had some kind of a way of letting everybody know that we're going to be meeting at certain road and curve and hill and up in the woods and whatever. I wonder how many would show up. I wonder how many would bring their Bible. And I wonder how many would come knowing that if there's a chance that we could get caught, you know. I'm afraid the external is going to manifest what people's got. Amen. Look at this right here. Listen to this right here. Now, I just made all kinds of little notes, but as the Lord just fed me this morning, these disciples here had a past with Jesus. Their walk in life with Jesus didn't start in chapter 4. They had already saw miracles. They had already heard him preach. They already heard and was a part of Jesus' earthly ministry. But you can't tell it here. You can't tell it here in the text that we're reading from. You can't tell it there. You can't tell they've ever been anywhere with Jesus, ever saw a miracle, or ever heard a message from Jesus. Never heard nothing. You can't tell it. They had a past with Jesus, but the external manifested the internal of what you couldn't tell it. They not only that, they had a promise from Jesus. Verse 35 is a promise. Let us go into the other side. They had a promise from Jesus, which is his word. He said unto them, verse 35, he saith unto them. And right there, I just read that other unto I was looking for. That's the one I didn't have underlined, but that's the one I was looking for. He saith unto them. That's the word being spoken unto them. Point Reitz is the same word that was spoken unto the sea, that was spoken about the journey we're going unto the other side. So they had the past with the Lord. They had the promise of the Lord, but you couldn't tell it in this passage. Before they got in the ship, everything looked good. Yeah. But when the storm hit, it manifested the fact that they didn't have much. You couldn't even tell that they'd ever even heard a word from Jesus. How many of us are like that? God, have mercy. How many of us are like that? We get a word, whether we've read it or whether we've heard it preached or whether we've heard it taught in Sunday school, we get a clear word and we have a recorded word. But when we get in a storm, you can't tell that we've heard a lot of preaching. You can't tell that we've read the Bible several times. You can't tell it if we fall apart. So they had a past with the Lord, but you couldn't tell it. They had a promise from the Lord, but you couldn't tell it. Here's something else they had. They had the presence of Christ. They had in person. They had on board in their journey. They had on board the Christ, the God manifested in the flesh, but you could not tell it by their actions or their reactions. Is that not us? Look at the past we've had with the Lord. Look at how good God's been to us. Look at how many good, I mean unbelievable services that God has let us be in throughout the course of our life. Look at the times God has answered prayer. Look at the times that God met with you in a prayer closet. Look at the times that God got on you to the point you couldn't hardly stand it. But then when you get in a storm, does it surface? Or does it seem to be that none of that ever even happened? Now, you have to see, listen, you don't have to be too smart like me. I'm not too smart, is what I'm saying. You don't have to be real smart to discover right here that what Jesus said to them, and it's in red letter, by the way, that Jesus spoke that. When Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side, when Jesus said that, but then you come, look at it. Oh, my goodness. Let's see, what is it, one? Two verses later, the water and the wind is beating into the ship. Three verses, Jesus is asleep on the pillow, and they're falling all to pieces in two verses. Falling all to pieces in three verses after Jesus just told them, we're going to the other side. You know what they should have said, Miss Candy? When they saw one of them getting weak or one of them starting to wobble a little bit, John should have said, hey, Peter! Don't forget what Jesus said. Where's our reminders at? Where's the friends that'll hold us accountable and say, hey, don't talk like that. Listen, Brother King said, to your own preaching. Huh? Where is that reminder tonight? Where is that reminder that says, hey, don't forget what God said to you in the light? Don't ever doubt it in the dark. I think it is very important. I'm going to slow down right here on purpose. I think it's very important that you have some way, a spiral notebook, some way that, Brother David, you jot down when God gives you something, whether it's in your own personal devotion or whether you're hearing it preached or whatever, but God gives you something, write it down. Because somewhere down the way, the external may be rough. And you may need a reminder. And you could pull that journal out and say, boy, I remember God telling me that. Boy, I remember God giving me that. They had the promise. They had their path. Remember, they should have said one to the other, hey, John, listen, I know it's dark. John, it's rough. I know, John, the boat's being beat. The water's beating into the ship, and it's full. I know, John, it don't look good. I know, John, it don't feel so good. But you remember who it is that's aboard. this ship with us. That's the way we're supposed to think. That's the way we're supposed to think, Miss Joanne, but a lot of times we don't think that way. They had a past with the Lord. They had the promise of the Lord. They had the very presence of the Lord, but you could not tell it. If we had just been on one of them little ships that was with them and looked on board and the ship that Jesus was on board and saw the turmoil and heard the complaining and heard the murmuring and heard the doubting and heard the bitterness and heard all of that, guess what? We would have never thought that Jesus was on board that ship. Jesus was on board that ship, and he was able, and he was abiding, and he was almighty. Boy, that got big to me today. Jesus was on board their ship, and they knew it, and they still was all to pieces. Help was not had just merely by the abiding presence of Christ. Should have just been able to say, hey, he's on board. This thing ain't going under. He's on board. But you know what they had to have? Boy, this spoke to me. You know what they wanted? They went in there and woke him up, disrespected him. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, I don't care how you read that, friend. There is nothing spiritual about that. That's disrespectful. They are criticizing him. They're questioning him. Literally blaming him. We're on board the ship. Where were we supposed to be? Amen, and all of that. And look at what we're going through. They had an attitude, buddy, when they went and woke him up. But boy, this spoke to me. This spoke to me today. You don't find no attitude with Jesus. Now, if that had been me, yep, it'd have been, oops. I'm sorry, John. I didn't mean for you to go overboard. And of course, he wouldn't even have done that. The Bible said the ship was full of water. I believe I'd have took care of business down underneath the next to the pillar down there somewhere. But you don't find Jesus rebuking them until after it's all over with. Then he rebukes them. He did what they wanted him to do. They woke him up. Carest thou not that we perish? Will you arise and rebuke the wind and the waves? Guess what Jesus did? Even with their criticism, even with their carnal thinking, even with all of that, guess what Jesus did? He arose, went onto the bow of the ship, and said, peace be still. And the winds and waves obeyed him, laid down like a little puppy dog at his feet. And guess what? He did that. Oh my, how many times has Jesus helped me when I was in a bad attitude? How many times has Jesus, my friend, did what I asked him to do or was commanding him to do or was disrespectfully asking him to do? And he went ahead and did it because that's just the way he is. That's just the way he is. But there's a rebuke coming. You just count on it. He cleaned her plow later. After it was over and they saw the active. See, they didn't, listen, oh my goodness. They should have got help, like I said a moment ago, they should have got help just off of the abiding presence, just the fact that he was on board and he was present. That should have been plenty. But they wanted to see the active presence. And I'll tell you why. Because they were carnal. And carnal thinking, carnal nature doesn't operate in faith. It operates in what I can see, and it operates in what I can hear. I don't just want to have Jesus on the inside. I want to see him doing something. I want to hear him doing, saying something. You know why they wanted that? It catered to their carnal nature. That's why the abiding presence. How many here has Christ in you? If you're saved, you ought to be able, you can raise your hand. Christ is in you. Amen. Whether you hear him say anything, whether he Whether you see him do anything, there should be help had. Amen. Thank God, just because we know that Christ is in me. Hallelujah. But sometimes that just don't do. When my carnality starts rising up and my spirituality starts decreasing, I want to see him do something. I want to see him pay a bill. I want to see him. Amen. Basically, oh Lord, help us right here. You know what basically they were wanting him to do, Brother David? They were wanting him to serve them. Master, carest thou not that we perish? They weren't perishing. You'd have to do away with the promise for that to happen. They weren't perishing. You'd have to do away with Christ's presence for that to happen. But they were operating on feelings. It feels like and looks like we're going under. We're perishing. We're going to perish. I wonder how many people. Listen, there's been an enormous amount of people committed suicide through all this mess over the past several months. You know, because they see their little world. They see their little world of normalcy being shaken and changed and altered. And nobody asked me if it was all right. Nobody called me and says, is it all right if we just turn this country upside down? Nobody asked me nothing. But I tell you what, I've got to hear this, Brother Paul, is how I've got to look at it. This is how we've got to look at it. We're to do our part, be responsible, and vote. Vote that crowd out. Vote them stinking liberals out. Amen. And you don't have to have knowledge of everything coming and going. Just look at a few key issues. Just a few things. If they're for abortion, I don't care which side of the aisle they're on, don't vote for them. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. They can do everything else good, but if they're for killing babies, they'll not get my vote, my support, not at all. Say amen right there. If they're for the sodomite lifestyle, LGBTQ, PSE, amen, MOUSE, and all that other stuff, they're wanting to add other things, they're wanting to add other letters to that. They're wanting to add pedophiles to that. Are y'all listening? Who would have ever thought? I'm going to just run a rabbit right here. Who would have ever thought that we would live in a place called America, USA, and there would be talk of supporting pedophilia? I've saw pictures, they were like animated pictures of an adult person holding hands with a child. And it's not daddy and daughter and daddy and or mom and son. It's not that. It's pedophiles. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, when you start going out that left wing, left liberal direction, you have no standards. Anything is condoned except what's right. That's perverted, friend. I still remember hearing Brother Billy Mitchell preach, and he made this clear. I heard him preach up Brother Massengill. He said, I don't care what passage I'm in, what scripture I'm in. He said, I'm going to make it my business that somewhere before I sit down, I'm going to make reference to Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to make reference, and I'm going to speak my mind and heart just for a moment about perversion. Amen. They're coming out of the closet and God's people's going in it. They're vocal and God's people, for the most part, are becoming silent. Lord, help us, Jesus. The external, my goodness. The external manifesting the internal. I'm going to show you this right quick. Just to look at 2 Corinthians 4. Our missionary that we had Sunday night was in this passage of Scripture. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 real quick. This is probably as good a passage as I know that shows the importance of the internal and that God wants the internal to be manifested. I mean, there's passages everywhere. You know, was it 1 Peter chapter 1? Talks about the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried in the fire, might be found unto praise and glory and honor at the appearance of Jesus Christ. What happens when you put gold in the fire? That fire, the external fire, draws out and manifests what's on the inside, the dross, and it needs to be removed. It comes to the surface, they skim it off until there's no more dross left. The external fire manifests as the internal. Look at here, 2 Corinthians 4. I'm about done. Listen right here. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's just skip down here to look at verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now listen to this list. Now let me tell you this list before we start. They're in pairs. The first one, Brother David, is external. Has to do with the flesh. The next one stated is the spirit and deals with the internal. So keep that in mind as we read. We are troubled on every side. That's external. Yet not distressed. That's internal. We are perplexed. Again, external, but we are not in despair. We're persecuted. That's external, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Look at verse 10 and 11. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus, and that life is on the inside of us, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Now let me back up here. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Christ in you, God wants that manifested on the outside. And I know this simple thought that's challenged me today, feeding me today, is the external is going to manifest the internal. Good or bad? Good or bad? Amen. May the Lord help us to think on that as we are in a storm. And it may become more personal. It may become more personal to us. Who knows? You'll go through things that I won't. We'll face things together. We'll be in this thing together. But then there'll be some things that are personal. And the external, Brother Ivan, is going to manifest the internal. If you quit, I don't know if you remember me preaching on it, but that verse come back to my heart today, Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know why you faint? It's not because of the adversity. You faint because your strength was small. That strength is on the inside. Adversity, days of adversity is on the outside. And if the days of adversity causes you to faint, it's not because of what was external. It was because of what was not internal.